Welcome to Groove Theory Project, episode 2, your favorite podcast for music lovers. Yes, remix. Episode 2. If you're rocking with us already, this is not your first time here. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
If this is your first time here, we hope you enjoy it and we hope you come back again and again and again.
Yeah, thanks for tapping in.
Yes. How you feeling today?
Good. I'm feeling good. Nice. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah. What's been on your mind?
Oh, what's on my mind?
Wait, did we say our names?
Still? Oh, no, we didn't.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We could say our names right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Niaja.
I'm Arnisha.
You know what we didn't do the first episode? We didn't tell people who we are. Maybe we should do that right now. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Who are you?
My name is Arnisha. I am a producer, DJ, and now podcast host, co-host of your favorite music podcast, Groove Theory Project. And just a music lover, a lover of all things creative. And my background is in television and film, but also music. And I'm really excited to be on this venture with my partner here because I feel like we relate and converse a lot about music and what inspires us. So this is the perfect outlet.
Yes. Yeah. And where are you from? I feel like it's relevant for this episode.
I'm from LA, born and raised, Cali girl. We're both Cali girls.
Yeah. I'm from Oakland.
Yes.
Yes.
The Bay.
From the Bay Area. I'm Niaja. And I am a singer, songwriter, copywriter, creative person, and yes, now podcast host as well. Just keep it short and sweet. From Oakland. Yeah, that's it.
West Side.
West Side. So how you feeling? How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
I'm good, relaxed. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling chill. I'm feeling a little studious. I took my notes. I did some research for this episode.
Yes. We're prepared for this one, y'all.
The hair is up. I'm ready. Class is in session.
Yes. This will be more of a theory episode of Groove Theory Project. Something we love to do is kind of just nerd out.
Yeah.
We're excited for this one.
And kind of on topic, lately, I have still been watching and thinking about the Super Bowl halftime performance.
Oh, yes. That's been on repeat
it's
for
infiltrated
me.
Infiltrated my brain.
And Ollie doesn't help.
No, yeah. My one-year-old, loves to watch it. It's rivaling. It's a rival to Miss Rachel.
Love that.
Yeah.
Kendrick is for the kids.
Kendrick is for the kids. He got the kids in a chokehold. I'm like, what did you put in this?
Right.
But, yeah. So today, we're actually going to be talking about Kendrick.
We are.
Through all of his eras, through his albums, his career journey, because everyone's been talking about Kendrick. So we want to get in on it, you know?
Yeah.
And just kind of give a bird's eye view since now we're calming down from Super Bowl. We're calming down from
the Grammys.
The Grammys, the album, the beef, and all the things. So just kind of giving one of our favorite artists a little love and
giving him his flowers.
Yeah.
And just kind of doing a deep dive on his background. I know he's relevant for the more recent activity with, the rap battles and stuff. But just giving some insight on his background and his artistry that informs his music today.
Yeah, definitely. You want to get into it?
Let's get into it.
I first learned about Kendrick Lamar probably in 2011 or 2012. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who told me about it, so sorry I can't shout you out, but Overly Dedicated. I don't know if it's a mixtape. I think it's technically a mixtape.
Yeah.
But that had me in a chokehold. I would listen to it on my commute all the time.
Yeah.
Favorite song from that was PNP, Pussy and Patrol.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Same.
But I was just like, oh, this guy is like, he is a skilled MC, and it was just a vibe, and it was, yeah, it was a fun peek into his world, and I had no clue at the time how it would blossom and evolve over the years, but yeah. I still really loved it back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My introduction to him, I mean, we're from the same town. I grew up in Compton. Shout out to Compton.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably around the same time, 2010, 2011, when I first heard of him and really, like, listened to his music. I think it's in our nature, at least from where we come from, to root for your home team. So, yeah, I was a fan pretty early on. Admired him and, of course, wanted to support him and love what he's been able to do, which is put the city on the map.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I feel like that, like, Project Overly Dedicated was, like, bubbling,
mm-hmm.
at least, like, in L.A. I don't know about, like, outside of L.A.
Yeah.
And then, like, a fast follow, I feel, was Section 80.
Section 80, yeah.
That was 2011. Like,
back-to-back drops.
Yeah.
He wasn't wasting no time.
And that one, like, got everyone's attention.
Yes.
Like, I think Vashti, directed a video for ADHD.
I do remember.
And then we had, was Swimming Pools on Section 80? No.
No, that was on...
Good Kid. I'm getting ahead of myself. City. But yeah. ADHD, yeah. I didn't listen to Section 80 as much as I listened to Overly Dedicated.
Same. I feel like I resonate more with Overly Dedicated than Section 80.
Yeah.
But just that period, to speak to that, I feel like both, I mean, of course, his early mixtapes, but specifically Overly Dedicated into Section mm-hmm. 80, that era of Kendrick was pretty formative. I feel like that is where he was really getting into the artists we know today, or laying the foundation, rather, for the artistry we know today, finding his sound, kind of implementing his influences in his work. And we kind of see that take shape in those projects.
Absolutely. You could, like, see the lyricism and the skill and the precision.
Yeah.
Even back then. And the creativity back then. Yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
Love it.
So, yeah. I feel like that era is important, obviously, for his development. I think it was, like, I mean, we'll talk about the actual project that I feel more is, like, a coming to age project.
Yeah.
But I think that era of Kendrick was, like, a coming of age era for him.
Yeah.
Finding his groove and artistry.
And introducing himself to the world as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really have to mention, I loved... not only ADHD, but there was this track called Rigor Mortis on Section 80.
Yeah.
With that horn sample.
Yeah.
I thought that was so fire.
I feel like my favorites, and I don't know, my favorite, what I resonate to, is Cushion Corinthians.
Yes.
First of all, I love how he also, like...
The alliteration.
Yeah. He also weaves in a lot of, like, his faith into, you know, his lyrics and his songs. But that one's, like, probably one of my favorites from that project. And then High Power.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes, yes. And faith is a big reoccurring mm-hmm. issue. Like, not issue, but
an
topic
overarching
for him.
Theme for sure. Yeah.
And then I remember at that time, or around that time, do you remember that song, The Recipe?
From him or?
Yeah, like Sir? Women, Weed, and Weather song.
Oh, yeah.
I felt that was, like, I was still listening to, like, the radio back then. Like, I don't listen to radio as much right now. But that, like, you could
That's
not escape
like a
that song.
California anthem.
And I felt like when I heard that song and it was, like, being, like, blasted all day, every day, I was like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, like, he's going to be a big name.
For sure.
Because we already loved him. But I'm like, okay, now everyone, like, now my mom knows who he is.
Right.
You know, like, that was the first moment for me. I was like, okay, he's blowing up.
Yeah. Okay, should we get into
Good Kid, Mad City? Yep.
This is probably one of my favorite projects of his.
It's one of my favorite projects, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people resonate with that because that's when he won his Grammy. I I think that gave a lot of insight for people, or he was able to kind of shine light on what it's like growing up in mm-hmm. Compton. I think that's also when he really gets into like his cinematic approach to like a project.
Yes.
Like each song I can visualize, probably coming from the city, but yeah. I can visualize the story that he's telling.
I'm not from the city and I can visualize it.
Yeah.
I feel like I was watching a movie. Like if you listen to that album from beginning to end, it feels like you're watching a whole film.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that's a reoccurring, that's like a part of his style.
Yeah.
It's very much, it extends beyond just the text or the lyrics. Like
yeah.
it's visual.
Yeah. Sing About Me was definitely like a top favorite yeah. of that for me.
Yeah. Sing About Me, I'm Dying, a first. Money Trees, of course.
Money Trees. I loved hearing, we talked about songs we love to hear in the club. I was still hearing Money Trees yeah. in the club. Yeah.
I'll rock out to yeah. Kendrick any day.
And Sing About Me. Setting. We talk about emotional songs. Sing About
yeah.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely shed a little tear when I first heard that
for
one.
For sure.
Yeah.
And just, he's able to like be so vulnerable and like yeah. really take it there.
Yeah.
In a really artistic way.
Yes. And I feel like this wasn't even scratching the surface of what he would end up doing. It was creative and it was cinematic and the storytelling was just like impeccable. But then he takes it even further and further and further. And that's one of my favorite things about him is he is not afraid of his artistry. He's yeah. not afraid to like...
He leans into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, be creative, take risk, and like really just do what he feels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because especially as a major label artist, you could just give people what you know they want.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like he goes that route.
Not at all.
And still knocks it out of the park every single time.
Yeah. And I also just love how he reinvents himself with like every project.
Yeah.
It's not one and the same, although we can cherry pick elements that are, you know, consistent.
Yeah.
About his style. But the approach is always different.
Yeah.
And still manages to be impactful yeah. and influential.
I also love when he like, I love when artists in general like have kind of things that become a signature of their world.
Mm-hmm.
Like Good Kid, Mad City, it was like a double, the album art. Also, his, I always love his album art.
Yeah.
But
so intentional.
There was the van photo, like kind of giving you that story.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also that photo of him when he was a kid and all of the men in the picture have like the blacked out
yeah.
eyes. And you see that recurring even now with like a lot of the, like I think in the GNX, mm-hmm. Squabble Up video, they'd use the same like blackout
oh, yeah.
eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's nice to like have those little callbacks into his like,
yeah, the little
the,
Easter
the world
eggs.
Of Kendrick Lamar. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Okay, so shall we get into the era of To Pimp a Butterfly?
Yes. And I think timeline is good too. So like mm-hmm. this Good Kid, Mad City came out in 2012. We got 3 years in between.
Mm-hmm.
2015, we get To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
I thought that was important because To Pimp a Butterfly is like pretty different
yes.
than his previous projects.
Yeah.
So I feel like as a listener, I'm like, I wonder like what his process was to get to that point.
Yeah.
And it's obviously he took a few years to like
yeah.
cultivate it. But mm-hmm. yeah.
I love that about Kendrick, too. I do feel like a lot of artists don't take the time to really sit in their craft and, you know,
yeah.
they're rushing in onto their next project. Like, I'm not.
It's like
opposed to you taking your time.
But as an artist sometimes, or as a creative person, it's hard to take time because there's this like scarcity mindset. Like,
right.
oh, if I don't put these ideas out right now, maybe someone else will, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, really, it's like a bold and brave decision to like
yeah
go away and really hone in on that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's hard.
It is.
Yeah,
but he nails it every time. But yeah, with this next project, To Pimp a Butterfly, it's very different, although it does also have the same elements we spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
His signatures. I feel like this was like a transformation period for Kendrick, and probably like you said, with the time span he did a lot of self-development during that time. I do feel like you can see the evolution, how he's evolved. And this feels more of like a more conscious album.
I feel like every time he's like pushed into something that maybe doesn't, maybe conflicts with his like sense of self, he gets more radical in his art. Like, and this is just me, like, as a spectator. He became famous for Good Kid, Mad City, and probably was exposed to a lot of different people and things.
Yeah.
And then your next album is titled To Pimp a Butterfly. Like, is that a comment on exploiting, like, a beautiful thing, you know?
Absolutely.
So, like, I feel like every, and even with, like, the most recent stuff, which we'll get into, like, that's, like, him, like, no, this is what I stand for. This is who I am, you know? And I lost my original point. But basically, like, I feel like when he starts to get pushed against the wall, he really comes out swinging.
For sure.
But, yeah, I love, like, the title of the album, the cover.
Beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's probably one of my favorite album covers of all time. The like, just, like, raw, unfiltered, like, hood shot group photo in front of the White House.
Yeah. I love his little, like, nod. I feel like all of his, again, all his album covers are.
Well, yeah, I don't know if this is what you're going to say, but the album covers tell the story before you even listen to the album.
Yeah, it's like symbolism, kind of, which you'll obviously get to once you complete the album. But he does, like, kind of foreshadow what to expect with his album covers.
Yeah, they're very thoughtful. It's just not, like, a cool picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's intentional with everything that he does.
Yes. Now, this is the first time, there was a lot of jazz sonically on this album, but this is the first time I feel like he really, really, really got into, like, a West Coast sound. I feel like there was, like, nods to it before, but he really, really got into it with, like, King Kunta and, like, a lot of the, like, just, like, funk elements of it. And it was funny because a lot of people just didn't, either they loved it or they didn't know what to do with it if they weren't from the West Coast. But I love that. Like, a lot of, I think he worked with, I think he worked with Terrace Martin on Good Kid, Mad City. Terrace Martin is a producer and, like, saxophonist, jazz musician. But I hear it a lot more in To Pimp a Butterfly, a lot of the jazz influence.
I love how metaphorical he is, even with, like, we talked about the album art and how they foreshadow the work, but even with the work and, like, with this particular project, like, the conflict between the caterpillar and the butterfly and, like, the different perspectives that he plays with in the different, you know, tracks. I just feel like it's kind of, like, crazy and mind-blowing to see, like, to, I don't know, his process of things. And how meticulous he is with being intentional with every detail.
Yeah. And you really, yeah, you really see that on this one.
Yeah.
What are some of your fave tracks from To Pimp a Butterfly?
I love, obviously, All Right.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We have to mention All Right
is probably the most impactful of the project to the masses because it developed into kind of a theme song
for
all things, you know, civil unrest related from there on after. Super motivating. And I love that also about Kendrick, where he isn't afraid to speak his mind about issues and the state of the world in his music. But that one in particular, you know, became the anthem for Black Lives Matter and all the protests that have been happening.
And for some reason, I'm not sure exactly why, he shot the video in Oakland.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I didn't
went to the video shoot.
Nice. Well, probably because, I mean, this whole project, I feel, was like a nod to Tupac. I think he plays into just giving him his flowers throughout. So that could be a reason why.
Yeah. And a lot of, like, there's a lot of, like, civil rights history in Oakland
of course,
stuff like that, too. But yeah. I just love. I was listening to it again yesterday, and I was like, I think this is my favorite.
Yeah, just album of his. Preparing for this episode and just like listening to all of his bodies of work again, yeah, or re-listening. It's like stuff that you didn't catch on. I mean, I do this all the time, but there's a lot of things that I just didn't catch on to, yeah, at the time.
Yeah.
And then listening it.
Living and growing and
being a more developed things person. Things
stand out to you more and more. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's easy. There's so much like content and creativity to like consume.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, damn, I kind of forgot about this song or forgot about this song because I moved on to so many albums over the years. And I'm like, I still really, really love this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Shall we move on to the next era?
This era, I feel like, so we had like a 3-year gap between Good Kid and To Pimp a Butterfly. Mm-hmm. And then we get like boom, boom, boom. So like To Pimp a Butterfly is 2015. Mm-hmm. And then he gave us Untitled Unmastered in 2016.
Yeah.
Which felt like kind of like, oh, these are the leftover songs that didn't make the album, but they're still amazing.
That's kind of what the gist I got too.
And there are so many fire tracks on that.
Fire.
So many. Like, yeah. And I think, am I wrong? Was there two versions of Untitled Unmastered? Or was there just the one with the green cover?
I think there was one. I mean, there was a deluxe version of Good Kid, Mad City. I don't remember two versions of the Untitled album.
Okay. Maybe that was in my dreams.
But yeah, definitely honorable mention to that one.
Yeah. Not officially album, but
just officially masterpieces that he was so gracious to put together for us.
That Get God on the Phone is on like not even an official album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. I'm like, are we being objective? We're just like telling like how great he is the whole time.
I mean, well deserved. I feel like the majority can agree that he's just beyond his years, always been beyond his years. It's so inspiring.
And I appreciate just like the way he moves too, because there's really not that much for us to talk about outside of the music.
Yeah.
That's what he gives us, and then he goes away. And then when he got some more great music, that's what we get again. So, yeah.
And I'm okay with that. I am all up in your life.
I am all up very in your happy with that. I'm more than okay. Please, everyone, do that. Please. I know I'm on a mic yapping right now, but please, everybody else, just be quiet and do your work, you know? And then so, 2015, we got To Pimp a Butterfly. Then the next year, we get Untitled Unmastered. 2017, we get Damn.
Damn. I love Damn.
I love Damn, too. Loyalty was my... Not Loyalty. I always mix up the names. Element was my shit.
Yeah.
Element. Oh, my God.
I love Love.
Yeah.
And Loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that, again, he reinvents himself with every project. And I just love the theme of, like, feelings,
or
you know, and he does that even boiling down to the title tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And
visuals got real good in this album.
Yeah, the music videos.
Yeah,
and that's missing nowadays. Like,
no one does music videos. We still gonna listen to your album on the streaming, but give us a video.
Give us a visual,
Queen B. But yeah, give us videos, please.
Definitely appreciate when it's paired with a visual. I think I do, just like with books, like I like to use my imagination, of course.
Yeah.
Like we love to do that, but we also love to see the intended visual.
It's another layer.
It is.
It's another layer. Like,
absolutely.
And like music and cinema go so well
hand
together. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? You know? And yeah, he just did it really well. I still watch, the Element video a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Humble video a lot still. Mm-hmm. That was a good... Damn was a good era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I guess this project made him... Put him on, like, the more popular radar.
It was... Yeah, it was a lot of pop influence on this album.
But I do think he still stayed true to his roots.
Yeah.
It wasn't...
I think it was nice. It was kind of like a I can do both moment.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just gave you guys To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
you know how far I can go on that end of the spectrum, but I'm going to still give y'all these hits, mm-hmm. and I'm going to still pack lyrics into it, mm-hmm. and y'all still going to love it.
We love a versatile king.
Yes, we do. So, yeah, I love that. And it was, like, all love so close project. Together.
Yes.
And then we had a little hiatus. Oh, my God.
We were starving. Forget to mention, I mean, this is also the project that put him on the worldwide map and got him his first Pulitzer award.
Yeah. Damn, was it?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. But it was kind of like, I feel like it was all of that that we just mentioned in one, but probably officially Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he get? I don't know too much about the Pulitzer Prize.
I just know that not many musical artists get that award.
It's like usually like
philosophers. Civil rights
leaders, philosophers. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the work was, like, even listening to everything in preparation for this episode, I feel like it was like, I was listening to it thinking like, yeah, people really did need this piece of art, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's something that challenges us to think about things in a different way, think about ourselves and how we show up in the world. So I could see his work winning a Pulitzer Prize. And I think
the impact of it.
Yeah. I don't think artists should necessarily like strive to make an impact, but I think striving to like have work that is like honest and vulnerable is a good thing to strive for.
Yeah. I do love when artists do aim to have an impact and of course stay true to yourself and you know promote your or produce your own creative thoughts, but I do feel like music connects us all and it should be, I guess, the intention for it to be bigger than you, you know?
Yeah. And it's somewhat of a sacred thing.
Yeah.
Because of how powerful it is.
Yeah.
So I think I really do appreciate people who understand that whatever they put, you know, out there could have impact. Like, it could have influence. So you want to do something good for people.
Yeah.
I still want to have fun, but
we can do a little bit of both.
I think he does both at the same time really well.
Yeah. Especially in this album.
Yeah.
For sure. And then we get another break.
Yeah, another a long break.
Yeah.
And we went through the pandemic.
Yeah. Ugh. What a weird time.
What a sad, tragic, weird
mix of
interesting
emotions.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. We was all in the house.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I like forget. I think I disassociate from that time.
I don't forget. I'm like, I want those years back.
That too. Absolutely. But yeah,
where do I get the years back?
Fast forward. It's like 2019, fast forward to like 2022.
Yeah. It's definitely like a timestamp. I'm like, oh, this was before the pandemic or that was after.
Yeah.
But we got Mr. Morale after.
Yes.
Like what everybody, awesome. he was at home going through it. Like everybody else.
Yeah. This is definitely a more vulnerable project for him where he's not one to really let us in on his business, but with this one, I think he felt the need to be vulnerable and open about the struggles that he was going through, probably to relate to others going through the same thing.
Yeah, I think it was like, maybe hopefully people can relate, but I also just think it was like an exercise in vulnerability and kind of healing.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. It got a lot of critique, as all art does. But I think I appreciated it for sure. It wasn't like a smash, like knock it out of the park hit, like Damn or anything.
I
don't think that was the intention either, but I still really appreciated that album.
Yeah.
And I did go back to it and listen to it.
Mm-hmm. It was on heavy rotation when it dropped.
Yeah.
It's another one of my favorites of him.
Yeah. And like I love Baby Keem, so it was like that era I still appreciate. Even like when Keem dropped his project a little bit before, maybe like a year or two before Mr. Morale and all the things that they did together.
Yeah,
leading up to Mr. Morale, I love that era.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love them together.
Yes.
I need another track with y'all.
Separate together, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Them together, the fashion moments?
Yes.
Yes.
Compton Cowboys, all that. Yeah, so I guess that's like broad strokes of all of his, most of his discography.
Mm-hmm.
Most of his discography.
Yeah.
Leading
up to 2024.
Yes.
That was a very transformative year for, yes, for Mr. Lamar.
Yes.
You want to start with Like That?
Yeah. I mean, that kind of, I mean, it didn't start it, but that was definitely the catalyst.
Yeah. We've been like, we knew how he felt for a while. Mm-hmm. We've been listening.
He's been giving us a little nugget.
Yeah. And it was, honestly, it was a shock for me to see Metro Boomin and Future,
mm-hmm,
put how they felt on wax.
Yeah.
Even though they've since retracted or have said that that's not what they was talking about. I've heard that.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
You got to stand on big business.
Gotta stand on big business, especially when you it was recorded.
Right. We have timestamps. We have records.
But yeah, that was fun. Yeah. That was a fun moment.
I think the whole, I mean, obviously we're choosing sides. This is the episode about Kendrick. But I just love that brought him out. Like, I feel like we don't see that much anymore, like rap battles.
We didn't mention the control verse.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you could go, this is part of it.
Yeah.
This is kind of what started it.
Okay.
With the song with Big Sean. It was Big Sean's song.
Right.
Kendrick was on it. And he like called out a list of all his peers. Like,
and then
y'all ain't shit.
And no one and took some, it really like,
no one really took it as personal.
Except for one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we know who he is.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That did start it. He
said that Kendrick was looking for a moment. And, you know, he wants to give people just, you know, great music, but he doesn't care about the moment, so he's not going to respond to that. That was his
as
response
he was
back,
responding.
Back then. Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is kind of a response, but yeah. All right. But, yeah, so that happened, headlines right. everywhere about that, because people love a rap beef.
Yeah.
Biggie, Tupac, R.I.P.
Yeah, we
that
grew
went
up
too
with
far.
That. That was
Jay-Z,
hip-hop.
Nas.
That was, like, a really...
Pusha T,
big
Drake.
Element of hip-hop.
Drake, Meek Mill.
Yeah.
We love beef. We love, like, you know, show
not
us.
Not so much
show
the
us,
beef, but I think
well,
just
a rap beef, not like a real
just the
life.
The competition.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sparring of sorts.
Absolutely.
With words.
Absolutely. But yeah, the control verse kind of like.
You're right.
Documented that.
Yeah.
For the first time.
That was the time stamp.
And before that, all of the rappers that were popping at the time were going on tour. They were mm-hmm. collaborating. They were being seen together. And that shit ended right there.
Yeah.
It ended. No more fun. It was over. The party is over. But yeah, fast forward. I don't know what year that was. But fast forward to this last
summer
year.
Summer of 2024.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, not even summer. It was
or
that was
2024.
Like spring.
Yeah.
Like that. What was their project called?
The Metro Boomin Future joint album. I
we
forgot
don't,
the
we
name
don't trust
of it.
You. We don't
yeah,
trust
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And wasn't it like two parts? It was like two albums.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, a lot of people came out the woodworks with things to say. They had some things to get off their chest.
Mm-hmm. And it seemed to have come out of the blue. Like before then, I didn't know what the beef was with Metro Boomin Future and Drake.
There were rumors. I don't know what it was with Metro Boomin. I've heard on other podcasts that they were like, you know, and I'm quoting these as rumors. I don't know if they're true at all. I've heard that like Future and Drake like the same girl. I've heard Future and Drake were going to do another collab album, but then he did one with 21 Savage. These are all, I feel like, people spectating.
Okay.
So I really don't know what it is.
Got you.
But yeah, something happened mm-hmm. and he felt the need to do what he did.
Yeah.
And Kendrick's verse on Like That made a big splash because people have been waiting for, you know, they know his lyricism, they know his artistry. Mm-hmm. Drake has been at the top of his game for a really long time. So people are like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And he got him to step into that ring.
Yeah.
With the help of J. Cole.
Oh, Lord. Somebody check on J. Cole. We love him, too.
Shout out J. Cole. I mean, I like all these guys, but Kendrick won. That's, you know.
That's the final answer.
That's the final answer.
I mean, fast forward to a Grammy.
Yeah.
Super Bowl performance.
But
now a stadium tour.
Once they really got into it, what was it? Push Ups that Drake put out?
There were so many.
As his first response? I think it was called Push Ups. Drop and Give Me 50, something like that.
Yeah.
But,
I just love that they were dropping back to back. We didn't have to wait too long.
At like 6
for
in the
response.
Morning, let me wake up.
Yeah, and sometimes 15 minutes after someone else dropped.
It was exciting.
Crazy.
And like, it's so cool, like in the streaming era, to just be like waiting for a song to come out and everybody just pounce on it. Like, okay, I got to see what he said. Mm-hmm. That was fun. And I remember when Euphoria came out. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I love Euphoria.
Wow. Yeah. It was like the only thing that me and Joe were talking about, like mm-hmm. for days, like comparing lyrics and like who did, like who, okay, what's the score on this side? What's the score on that side? It was just fun
literally,
to like compare and enjoy it all.
That's the sport of it.
Yeah. And then I remember when Not Like Us? Yes.
Yeah.
Not Like Us dropped and ended it all. Mm-hmm. That was insane. I wasn't ready.
Yeah. I remember where I was when it dropped.
I remember where I was in Palm Springs.
I was on my way to one of our friends outside.
Nice. Oh, nice.
And we were just
Damn, you was going to outside.
I was going to outside.
Oh, how many times did they play it when you got there?
They played it literally
outside.
Outside
is like our
night.
Friend's like fun event.
Shout out to Johnny.
Yeah, shout out to Rabbit.
Shout out to Rabbit.
Rabbit does this really fun like park hang.
Yeah.
Park party, park club.
Park club. But also lounge. It's just like
people just come out and he has DJs and we just hang out like on some like New York energy in the park.
Yeah. Very much
but that sounds fun. Y'all probably played that like 11 times.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Literally back to back to back.
Yeah.
And we were all grooving, just dancing to it all night.
I'm sad I missed that.
It was the best like kind of experience.
We were in Palm Springs with our cousins who are from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So like talking about it the whole time. And then they're like, oh, you know, maybe he'll like do this, maybe he'll do that. They're trying to hold out hope. And Not Like Us came out and Joe just like saw it on his phone first and just screamed because he was listening to the AirPods and then turned it on to loudspeakers. And then we were all like, yeah, we love this.
It was
even
over
our
after
even
that.
Our Canadian family, they loved it.
Literally, once you make a banger after a beef, like it's over because now everybody gonna turn up to it all summer long.
Yes,
and even now.
Yeah, I still listen to it.
Yeah,
and my toddler loves it. I don't know what Kendrick did with the kids this year, but they love music.
Yeah.
Yes. So that happened. Then we got that happened in May. Then in June, we got the pop out.
Yes. Oh, I'm so mad I missed out on that.
Yeah.
I was trying to get tickets. I was trying to get tickets.
Those tickets slipped in my hands like water.
But I was trying so bad because I knew it was just going to go up. And I wanted to see it live. Being from the city, I knew he was going to bring out the city. It was a time.
I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't know who he was going to have come out.
Well,
but
it said like Kendrick and Friends.
I didn't know he was going to have like Kendrick and Friends. That could be like Rihanna and Beyonce and whoever.
Figured, like,
but he chose to bring out up and coming and like legends from LA.
LA legend or East or West Coast legends. I kind of figured like more of a TDE when it said
even
and
that.
Friends,
yeah.
But yeah, I knew
it
he
was
strictly
going to do something. LA people. Yeah,
he was going to do something for LA,
and it was beautiful. It was really beautiful to see.
And him choosing like an iconic venue like the Forum.
Mm-hmm.
I still call it the Forum, Kia Forum.
I call it the Forum. What is Kia Forum?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Forum. It was legendary, and I wanted to see it in person, but
Amazon was still good.
Amazon was good. I was still
they
turned
was,
up
the cameraman
in my living room.
Was doing their job.
Yeah, they
that
were.
Wop, 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 wop.
And the fact that he performed it, what, 8 times?
It was a lot.
Yeah.
And we was like here for it all.
We love it.
But yeah. And then right after, so that was Juneteenth. And then 4th of July, we got the video.
Right.
I'm like, holidays are good again.
Yes. I loved it. That was a good time.
Yeah. And then he teased Squabble Up.
Oh, he did.
And I was like, we got it. We need this immediately, right away.
Yeah.
And he didn't make us wait too long. Dropped November, we got GMX. Fire. Yeah. But between that, we got the Super Bowl halftime announcement.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really exciting because I think he's like one of the first artists in their prime, mm-hmm. at least in recent times, to perform the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
I feel like, Beyonce will probably never go out of her prime. Rihanna hasn't put out an album in like 10 years.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't call her, she's in her prime as Rihanna, but in terms of like putting out music, mm-hmm. it wasn't anything current. So I feel like we haven't had like a Super Bowl halftime artist that has like a current like chart topping project in a while.
Okay.
Other than like Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. And then Usher. He was also really good.
I wouldn't say that he had like a recent charting.
I think he dropped an album.
But it wasn't, you know what I mean? Like Usher's prime, and I love Usher. This is no shade to Usher. Usher's prime is not last year.
No.
Kendrick's prime is this year.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, so I feel like that was like one of the first times we had that.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to expect. Like, is he going to do all his classic hits? Is he going to do some of the new stuff?
Yeah.
Like, everyone was trying to figure out.
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation about what he was actually going to perform.
And a lot of speculation about, did he deserve to do it, since there's always these legacy acts that do it.
Some of even the legacy acts, though, like. We'll not touch on that, but
I'm saying there was just a lot of conversation about it. Yes. They're like, why is, you know. Yes,
because he could have took it way back.
Oh, like, The Weeknd was current.
On that platform, he could have highlighted his older, you know.
Yeah.
Stuff that, like, I guess would be more mainstream.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah, definitely.
But him keeping to this particular project, GNX.
Him keeping to his pattern as a storyteller was exciting.
Again, the visuals.
Yeah, it was a little movie.
Yeah.
It was a little 15-minute
movie.
Absolutely. Yeah, so when it finally... Oh, wait. We didn't even talk about GNX. We just talked about the Super Bowl announcement.
We were talking about GNX, but yeah.
And then GNX came.
Yes.
In November. I'm still listening.
It's still on rotation.
Heavy rotation. I was just really excited that he like got so West Coast with it.
Yeah. I love his partnership with Mustard.
Yeah.
And I was watching some interviews that he did after the release of the songs that he produced, and how he was like sending Kendrick like
5 beats a day.
Five beats a day. And of course had no insight on, you know,
he heard what not like he was us going with to, us.
What? Yeah. He didn't know what he was going to use.
Yeah.
And he dropped Not Like Us using his beat, which is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, on GNX, the Turn the TV Off.
Mustard.
I feel like, yes. I kind of want Mustard to use that DJ tag. I don't know if
it should be
exclusive to Kendrick, but I
love
the
No, he should just use it.
Mustard.
I mean, his other tag was YG. Like, why not?
Right.
Like, you know. Another artist that he's working with.
Yeah. But yeah, I love that he, you can hear a lot of LA in that album. He also put a lot of new LA artists and Compton artists.
Yeah.
Gave them a platform and features on this album.
And let them be their raw, unfiltered style.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. So good.
And again, I love the symbolism using, you know, his connection with the GNX and how he grew up.
Yeah.
You know, that's his dad's car.
Storytelling. I'm telling you, the man is a storyteller.
In every sense. Yeah. In every single sense. Yeah. I'm excited to see what's next for him.
Too.
I, of course, I'm looking forward to seeing him live later
this
year. Yeah,
that's going to be fun. I wonder how he's going to... like what elements of like the Super Bowl halftime will be a part of the tour.
Yeah. I can definitely, he's doing something with that GNX.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They didn't trick out that car for one night only. We got to take that around the world.
Yeah. But his team, like even his production team, PG Lang, shout out to PG Lang, like they are, I'm sure, have a lot in store.
Yeah. They're extremely creative, thoughtful, geniuses. Creative, and really pulling off some big stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of getting back into the halftime performance. I know it's not an album, but for me it is. The choreography.
Oh yes.
Can
we shout out his
Sam Jackson as Uncle Sam?
Yeah. No, but Char has been working with him.
Yeah. Is it Char or Charm?
Charm.
Okay.
Char.
I think it's Charm.
Oh, Charm. Yeah. She's been working with him for a minute, and I love that collaboration too.
I love that he's been working with a choreographer. I don't know how many like MCs work with dance choreographers and like really bring. That's another thing I was thinking about with him. Like he really brings the entertainment.
Yeah.
Like to his performances.
Yeah, I mean that's he's the not just there like behind
speaking
it.
On the mic.
Every element of it, he like thinks about.
Yeah.
And it does make a difference, like. I mean, he's an entertainer.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he thinks of even the choreography and how himself and his dancers move in a line and flow on the stage.
And the feeling that you get when you see certain things. I saw the Mr. Morale tour.
Okay.
And a lot of that choreography was just really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I'm like, I've never seen a rapper like doing choreo.
Right.
Maybe I have.
I just love his little
I can't remember. Too. But it wasn't like corny and it wasn't like, it didn't feel out of place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like it enhanced the music.
Of course.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Obviously, we love you, Kendrick. Please give us another album.
Yes.
Sooner than later would be nice, but we'll wait if we have to.
We just wanted to give you your flowers.
Yes.
We absolutely love you. Huge fan. You're an inspiration. And we're looking forward to hearing more.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, to round out this episode and change it up a little bit, we got Let Me Put You On, where we share a newer artist that we want to put y'all onto that y'all may not know about.
Let me see. Oof.
I should have wrote mine down. I feel like it's in my phone.
I know. Let me see if I don't know if it's an artist.
I go from memory.
But I do have... Okay, so obviously I have a cinema background. Maybe not so obvious.
Obvious to me.
So I've been, you know, catching up on my shows one. But there's a music documentary that you need to check out.
What's it called?
It's called... What is it? Sly Lives, a.k.a. The Burden of the Black Genius.
Oh, I think I've seen... Is it on Netflix?
Hulu.
Oh.
It's on Hulu.
Okay.
But it's a music documentary about Sly. I haven't finished it. I started it last night. But it's the same creative team that brought us Summer of Soul, which I happen to
love
have
Summer
worked
of
on.
Soul.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? That's so dope.
Shout out to Questlove. Shout out to Joseph Patel, a dynamic duo. So if you are into, you know, music and cinema, check out that music documentary,
nice.
On Hulu.
I gotta start writing these down. I don't remember mine.
I know. I literally have a notes app because it's just too much to catch.
Mine are just
in
my liked Spotify, like, section.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me try to remember. I'm doing a visual scroll through my life.
Photographic memory.
There's this song that I want to share, but I can't remember what it's called.
Is it a newer artist?
It's so random. It's so random. Wait. Oh, I have my phone right here. Let me grab it.
Pull it out.
One of the albums that I forgot to mention that I liked last year while I'm scrolling through this was Sir's Project.
Ooh.
It was really, really good.
I love Sir. I mean, TDE has it on lock, honestly.
They really do. They really do.
It's been a hit and never a miss with the artists that come out of that camp.
It's called Taste.
Yeah.
Impeccable Taste.
Some of us have it, some of us don't.
Some of us have it and others can work on developing.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it something you can develop though? I feel like it's either in you.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah. It's true. Okay. This song is called Cry Alone by Sydney with a C. That's her artist name.
Okay.
It's hella fun.
Okay.
It's a little vibe.
I gotta check it out. I haven't heard of Sydney.
Oh wait, no. I do love that song. Sorry, that's not the one that I want to share. I mix these two up because I play them at the same time a lot, like back to back. But the one that I really want to share that's in my head right now is called Guap with the exclamation at the end. Okay. And it's by Afi, A-P-H-I, Tenza, T-E-N-Z-A.
Ooh.
That's also a vibe. Okay. Cry Alone is a vibe, but Guap is my shit.
Okay, I'm going to have to check both of them out. Thanks for putting us on.
Yes, well... Thank you guys for listening to episode 2 of Groove Theory Project. Hit us up on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Let us know how you liked the episode, what you thought.
Show us some love.
Yes.
Comment.
If you have any questions, anything you want to add to the conversation, we want to hear it. And if you have any topics you would like us to dive into next, let us know.
Yeah. Thanks for tapping in. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.